It is often misunderstood as sort of a to-do list for women.
Deaconess Elizabeth Ullman, author of The Issues Etc., Book of the Month, Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman.
Or something that we have to strive to be, and it's very often pulled out of its moorings. It's pulled out of its context and not really put into the context of the rest of the Book of Proverbs.
Learn more about demystifying the Proverbs 31 woman at issuesetc.org.
It seems quite hypocritical, actually, for secular progressives on the one hand to say that people ought not to bring religious arguments and religious motivations into the public square, and then on the other hand, to praise Martin Luther King for his work and witness.
Christus Victor is Christ, whom the Father sends into the flesh precisely so that he can defeat the enemies of the human race. He's the great warrior striding onto the field.
Then the Lutherans, they brought us over here.
Everybody blames the Lutherans.
Missouri dairy farmers love Issues Etc.
You've been hearing about those teachers' strikes. Statewide teachers' strikes. Now, they are striking because they feel that the students are being shortchanged. I think it has something to do with them being shortchanged as well, asking whether or not they're being paid what is commensurate with their duties and the responsibilities as teachers. What should we do about that? This seems to be not just a statewide thing, but a nationwide problem. When the teachers say, we're not going to teach, what are parents to do? What are students to do? If the students were to walk out, we'd say they're playing hooky and they're being truant. That's the old-fashioned term. What about when the teachers walk out? We're going to be talking about that particular situation with Joy Pullman, managing editor of The Federalist and author of the book Education Invasion. She has written recently a piece for The Federalist with a provocative title, Fire All Teachers and Send Their Paychecks to Students' Parents. What does she mean by that? We'll find that out here in just a minute here on Issues Etc. A little bit later in this hour, Bishop Keith Ackerman is going to join us. He's former bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Quincy, Illinois, currently serves the College of Bishops for the Anglican Church in North America. We're going to talk about pressure that is being brought to bear in the Episcopal Church to accept and use same-sex liturgies. When those things were first introduced, everyone was told, you can opt out, you don't have to use it, they are not mandatory. Well, that is changing a little bit, and we'll see what Bishop Ackerman thinks about it in about 15 minutes here on Issues Etc. Then, Manya Brashear Poshman, religion reporter for the Chicago Tribune, will be our guest in the last 15 minutes of this hour. Megachurch pastor Bill Hybels resigned last night in a hastily called meeting with his congregation. He was apologetic, but he was also not admitting anything with respect to the allegations of sexual misconduct that have been kind of piling up over the last four or five years there at Willow Creek. There have been investigations inside. There have been investigations from the outside. And there was recently, last week, a huge story in the Chicago Tribune. Apparently, for whatever reason, Bill Hybels has decided to disconnect himself from Willow Creek, from the Willow Creek Association, and from its Global Leadership Summit. At least for the time being, we're going to be talking with him. We'll be talking with Maya Brashear Poshman about that story, how she learned about it, and what's actually going on. Has Bill Hybels admitted to any of the allegations that have been made against him? In the meantime, Joy Pullman joins us to talk about statewide teacher strikes. She is managing editor of The Federalist, author of the book The Education Invasion, and a recent column for The Federalist titled Fire All Striking Teachers and Send Their Paychecks to Students' Parents. Joy, welcome back.
Hi, thank you.
I've been following your column since it came out on social media. A lot of interesting response, some of it very negative. Of course, some of that might just be based upon the title that it has. But I'd like your reaction to someone who says you seem to have zero sympathy for underpaid teachers.
Well, actually, on the contrary, the whole argument behind my article is that teachers should be getting the majority of money that we spend on public education, and that a lot of other people's priorities and regulations and a bunch of basically fat is siphoning, you know, what teachers deserve away from them and their students in the classroom. So I actually think, you know, teachers should be the number one item that a school is spending on and devoting its resources to, because they are the ones that schools exist for, as a proxy, of course, for students being the top priority.
What has brought about these statewide teacher strikes? Oklahoma, West Virginia, Arizona, and I think Kentucky is also in there. If these prove to be successful, see them spread to other states. What has been behind this?
Well, this is actually a pretty common thing. It's kind of a reoccurring thing that happens every couple of years. Actually, research finds that teaching is paid adequately, but in especially in terms of health and retirement benefits, teachers get 50% more on average than a comparable worker in the private sector. But if you look at a classroom, you know, the average class size around the country is somewhere between, it's about 15, 16 students per teacher employee that public schools hire. And the average public school spending is about, you know, $12,000. So we have well more than $200,000 per classroom of students, but, you know, teachers are often, you know, in Oklahoma, they're complaining about, for example, starting pay somewhere in the $30,000 range. So if you're paying a starting salary teacher $30,000, but they're, you know, in her classroom, taxpayers are paying $150,000, $170,000, $200,000 for all the kids that she's teaching, you know, where in the blaze is all the rest of that money going? So that's what my article looks at, is where the rest of the money is going instead of to teachers. So teachers are, I think they're rightfully complaining that they're getting such a small share of the money that taxpayers are devoting to education ostensibly. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons that they should be on top of the food chain, but they're really not.
Okay. So I just want to summarize before we get into the numbers themselves, because they are really super shocking. You are not saying that teachers are overpaid. You're not saying that education is underfunded. You're saying that education, the money going into education, is going someplace other than into the teachers' paychecks and into the classroom.
Absolutely right. That's what I'm saying.
Where's it going?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of different places, and there's, of course, variation among schools, states, and districts. For example, one of the biggest things right now that current spending is going to is to pay the retirement benefits for past teachers. And, of course, this varies by state, but something, you know, around 10 to 13% of every year's budget that is paid out to kids isn't going into classrooms today. It's going into, you know, teachers of yesterday who are retired, because states failed to save up the amount of money that they promised to those retirees, as well as promising, quite frankly, you know, teacher retirees get to retire often after 30 years of in the workforce. So, you know, you could enter teaching at 22, you could retire at 52 on a full pension, you know, typically teachers get, and government employees get really comfortable pensions, especially compared to private sector workers who typically get no pensions at all. That's one of the ways, you know, one of the places that this extra money is not going to today's students and today's teachers, but it's going to previous generations of students and teachers. Another huge amount of money is siphoned away in the cost of employing a person. I'm a salaried employee, right? So my employer pays me X amount a year, and that's the amount that I see, and I, of course, pay taxes on top of that. But what workers like me don't see, including teachers, is that the employer is also paying a bunch of things just to employ that person. So say, you know, a teacher is making $30,000 a year. Typically what it costs taxpayers through the school district to hire that teacher is $40,000 to $45,000 a year in terms of they have to pay unemployment insurance, they're paying for health benefits, they're paying for, their own side of the tax, the income tax equation. So teachers aren't seeing, you know, that $10,000 to $15,000 on a $30,000 salary, because government is basically almost invisibly soaking up what belongs to them, what they are earning every day in the classroom. So that's another way that teachers don't see money that ought to be going to them, or that taxpayers really dedicate to teachers. Of course, another big way that money that should be getting into classrooms and to teachers but isn't is because of government and other kind of quasi-government regulations. So, for example, every public school teacher has to be certified or working towards a certification, and that requires them to pay schools of education. It requires them, once they get their license, you know, every couple of years or every year, depending on the state, they have to keep on paying money to take quote-unquote education classes to keep up their license. They have to renew things like CPR certification. They have to maybe go through another background check. And all of these things involve paperwork, time, and money. Again, that, you know, that's kind of a tax on the teacher being a teacher as opposed to choosing another profession with not so much regulation. And on top of all the ways that teacher and school districts are kind of taxed in money and in time, they have to fill out, obviously, a lot of paperwork. There's discipline paperwork. There's quote-unquote on accountability paperwork. There's testing and facilitating all of these demands for information by government agencies typically requires hiring people to process the paperwork, to shuffle the people through, you know, the test and to upkeep the computers required for the test. And so it's come to the point that for every single teacher that a public school employs, they are hiring one non-teaching person just to keep up largely with, you know, regulations. And there's been a huge growth and bureaucrats and administrators in the past 50 years because of an explosion in those kinds of regulations. So there's all these kinds of things that are kind of choking up, that are soaking up, that are, you know, taking away, siphoning away money that, again, taxpayers are sending towards teachers, but all these things are eating up their resources on the way down to the teacher.
Joy Pullman is our guest. She'll be with us for a few minutes on the other side of the break. We're talking about the statewide teachers' strike. She's managing editor of The Federalist, and she has written recently for The Federalist a piece titled "Fire All Striking Teachers and Send Their Paychecks to Students' Parents." When we come back, how much has education funding increased, and what have been the results, not only in the classroom teachers' pay, things like that, but in academic outcomes? Stay tuned.
It is often misunderstood as sort of a to-do list for women.
Deaconess Elizabeth Allman, author of The Issues Etc., Book of the Month, Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman.
Or something that we have to strive to be, and it's very often pulled out of its moorings. It's pulled out of its context and not really put into the context of the rest of the Book of Proverbs.
Learn more about demystifying the Proverbs 31 woman at issuesetc.org.
Thanks to generous supporters, tuition for all incoming residential pastoral ministry and deaconess students at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be paid in full. Hi, this is Dr. Lawrence Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary. Learn more about studying for the vocations of pastor or deaconess in the 2018-19 academic year at ctsfw.edu.
Solid. Serious. Substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Saints at Gethsemane Evangelical Lutheran Church in downtown Marion, Ohio, invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, which He won for us in His perfect life, death, and resurrection. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:15 a.m. with a divine service following at 10:30. Visit our website, gethsemane-lcms.org, or find us on Facebook to learn more about our confessional, historical, and liturgical congregation.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about statewide teacher strikes. Joy Pullman, managing editor of The Federalist and author of the book The Education Invasion, is our guest. Joy, let's talk about the kind of the other end of the ledger, and that is how much education funding has increased and what have been the results in academic performance.
Well, this is actually really fascinating because I track education data and trends. And so there's been a rather long-running set of polls by Milton Friedman, the Nobel Prize-winning economist, Legacy Foundation, which focuses on education. And so they have, for a number of years, asked folks around the country in regular polls how much they think public schools spend per year on kids. And so usually the average, you know, they do it state by state as well as nationally, but usually folks think that public schools spend about $4,000, maybe $5,000 a year educating kids. And that actually is what the average private school tends to spend on kids. But the average, nowadays, the average public school student is costing taxpayers $12,000 to $13,000 per year. So, you know, about three times what the average person thinks public schools spend on them. And part of the disconnect is that, you know, people don't know, they're just guessing. But another part of it is that they're constantly seeing stories like these ones out of these couple of states where teachers are striking, posting pictures on social media about, you know, dilapidated classrooms and textbooks and things. And so the perception is basically the opposite of what has happened. And so another data point that people really obviously don't know is that, you know, public education spending in the United States in inflation-adjusted terms, so these are comparing apples and apples in terms of money, the same, you know, the same dollar across time, we have nearly quadrupled what we spend on public K-12 education in this country since 1970. So it's up almost 400% over the past 50 years. And at the same time, however, I mean, because you always hear from folks that, of course, you know, jeepers, how can teachers possibly teach, you know, if they're worried about their money, if we're not paying enough to attract the best teachers to teach the kids? And those would be fair arguments, except for the fact that, you know, we're the number one in the world on spending on public education, and we're about in the middle of the pack on developed countries' education outcomes. When you compare, you know, the same kind of American kid, you know, the one with the same family background, with the same family income, you know, you take away the racial aspects. So when you compare the same kind of kid in the United States to a similar, a peer student in somewhere like Canada even, or Norway, that American kid is not doing as well as the same kind of kid in a different country, even though our country spends, you know, a third to a half more than countries like ours, as well as the fact that, you know, long-term trends of inside the U.S. test results haven't moved an inch. You know, long-term SAT scores, long-term 17-year-old performance on what's known as the nation's report card hasn't improved since the 1970s, even though we've nearly quadrupled our public spending. So obviously we've got a lot of money at play. We're spending a lot of money, but we're really not getting good results. And that has been something we've known for at least 30 years.
Then with only about 30 seconds here, Joy, you calling for a radical solution. You say it is a full transplant from a toxic ecosystem to a healthy one with about 30 seconds. What does it look like?
Well, the current education system exploits both teachers and students. That is something that the striking teachers have absolutely right. And we have been trying to keep throwing money at the system for year over year over year, and it has not been changing, which isn't surprising. This is how these sorts of things work. So I argue what we need to do is just cut the bureaucrats out of the equation entirely, send public education dollars directly to families to decide what their priorities are for their children, rather than having all these middlemen soak up the money. And then they can hire the teachers directly. And the teachers, you know, in that equation are getting a lot more money. They're getting more responsive families. They're getting more educated families. And they're getting, you know, to engage with people who want the style of education that the teacher believes in and is capable of offering.
And is that really possible? The system is so pervasive. Is that a workable, feasible solution in your mind?
I think I have two opinions on that. You know, I actually think that it is possible because we are having small scale tests of those sorts of programs in a majority of states across the country. So, but I mean, I've also seen, you know, the public education system and all the people who are making money off of it who don't deserve to, they are very strong, right? We pay them to advocate for us, to keep paying them and increasing their territory while they don't provide any value to us. So I don't think it's a lost cause, but I don't think it's a sure thing either. It depends on people being educated and actually taking steps talking to their lawmakers and pushing for something that would serve taxpayers and families a whole lot better.
Joy Pullman is managing editor of The Federalist. She is author of the book, The Education Invasion, a recent column also for The Federalist titled Fire All Striking Teachers and Send Their Paychecks to Students. Parents, you can read it and purchase Education Invasion at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Joy, thank you very much for your time.
Oh, thank you.